All right, good morning, everybody. Let's get started with today's Link Developer Roundtable session. I'm here with Marcelo Farjala, PM with Link, and also John Austin, one of our technical writers. And but first, before we get started, I want to switch over to the calendar and just let you know what's going on. So today we're covering what's new with the Link 2013 SDK, and we've got some upcoming sessions. What's new with the Link 2013 Persistent Chat SDK with Kavita Kamani, and then we've got UCMA 4.0 coming up and UCWA SDK on Tuesday, August 7th. So take a look at the schedule, put it on your calendar, and hope to see you there. So without further ado, let me turn it over to Marcelo, and let's switch our slides back here for you, and take it away.
Cool. Thank you, Kai. This is Marcelo Farjala. I'm a program manager on the Link SDK. This is my second tour of duty with the Link SDK. John and I were both around for the first version, and we're excited to bring you some new features for the second version, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Quick agenda, I'm going to intro real fast what we've put into the APIs since the first version, and then we're going to have two demos for you and some code walkthrough, and then we'll take your questions at the end. So what is new? I'm assuming you've all had experience with the first version of the Link SDK, so I won't go over the full feature set of the SDK. If you remember from version 1, we only had IM and audio and video, and we were missing application sharing APIs and content. Also, Link 2013 has included a new modality, which we call persistent chat, and the Link SDKs also have an API set for that feature. So these, in a nutshell, are the three areas that we've added to our SDKs. The application sharing APIs, they allow you to, via the sharing namespace that we've included, they allow you to basically do the same sharing that you can do through the Link client, but you can do it from a third-party application. So if you wanted to have some kind of workflow application, any type of big button UI to control Link's application sharing, you could do that through our APIs. It's pretty useful since a lot of the buttons for Link sharing might be hidden in the Link UI if you want some kind of easy to use, custom, even training application to help them get application sharing. That this is perfect for that. The APIs allow you to figure out what's shareable on your computer, so a list of shareable resources. It allows you to select. You still seeing the intro slide? Am I doing something wrong?
Yes, we are seeing the intro slide.
Why?
Are you changing it on your side?
I am. Oh, take over as presenter. It says take over as presenter.
Yeah, you want to do that. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, guys. You didn't miss much. Let me see. I showed you the agenda slide, right? And I talked through that. And I showed you the what's new, so application sharing content, persistent chat APIs. And now I'm on application sharing. Thanks for letting us know that we weren't going through these slides. I'm assuming you can see the slides now. Everyone, you can see that?
I can see them, yeah.
Cool. Yes. Thank you. So for application sharing, we allow you to, and we're going to show you this in our code walkthrough, query the list of shareable resources, select a resource from that list in order to share. And then once you're sharing, we'll show you how to give and grant control to other participants. Someone can't hear the audio.
I would say if you can't hear the audio, leave the meeting and rejoin. Right.
Try again. Okay. On my end, I'm metered on purpose because I have my own table, right?
Right. Yes. Round table's picking up.
Okay. And I won't go into too much detail here because we'll go into these everything I'm talking about in our code walkthrough, and I want to leave most time for that. So this will be very quick. Our second area that we improved in version 2 is the content APIs. So by content, we mean PowerPoint, whiteboarding, uploading and downloading files. Basically, through our APIs, you'll be able to upload PowerPoints, upload files to be shared in the meeting, create a whiteboard. You'll be able to iterate through the content bin, and the content bin is a concept of all the content that's been uploaded to that meeting. You can select anything from the content bin. You can view a PowerPoint. You can slide through a PowerPoint. And then you can create a whiteboard, annotate a whiteboard, save a whiteboard. And we'll be able to show you that through our code demos as well. Persistent chat APIs. This is the third area of investment that we had for version 2. We won't have enough time today to show you a demo on an extension application for PChat APIs. But I wanted to at least for completeness, you know, mention that it is the new area. Maybe we can have another roundtable if we have enough interest when we talk about PChat APIs during that session. But for today, I want you to at least know that in the Link client, when you have a persistent chat room open, you can have an extension application just as you can for the conversation windows. There are a few differences in the way that you you deploy those applications. I won't go into too much detail here, but we can have a different session if needed. The APIs do allow you, to once the extension app is loaded, to read and post messages to a room, and then also you can do some filtering of outgoing messages. So part of the PChat scenarios is about marking up or keeping tabs with the local user is writing so that the extension app can perform some process on it. So we allow for that as well. Those are the three areas of investments, and we're going to dive deep into two of them. The first one being application sharing APIs, and John Austin, I'm sure you're familiar with from other sessions, and also from CAP Kickoff, maybe you've met him, but he's a great asset to us here. He's not only a writer, but a very good programmer, and he's the first user of our APIs always. So I looked at him for initial feedback of how did we do, and he's the expert in the code, so he's going to go through a sample real fast for app sharing, and then go through the three areas that I talked about in my slide.
Okay, folks, we're now going to show you how we share desktops with this share resources demo. To start this discussion, let me introduce you to our newest modality, the application sharing modality. Its parent is the modality, the generic modality. This one has all the generic modality properties, plus some new features that allow you to share. So what I've got running here is this demo, and I've already started a conversation with Marcelo. And if you look at my screen, you'll see on the left side the share resources demo, and on the right side, you've got this the link conversation window. Down in the lower left, there's a list of the resources that can be shared. I could share my desktop or my monitor or any one of these three applications. I'm going to share this application. So I'm going to choose the application. I'm going to press the Share Resources button.
Okay.
Marcelo is going to take it.
On my end, I'm getting an app sharing request. I'm accepting it. And I'm now seeing your Share Resources application.
Okay, now that he's sharing my this application here, I can take several actions to grant or revoke control of the application. So I want to give Marcelo a chance to touch the buttons on my application. So I'm going to highlight his name there in the list, meaning he's the guy I want to grant control to.
That's the conversation roster.
Yep, that's what that is. And then I'm going to grant control of the conversation to him. Now he's got control. He can move the mouse around or press any of the buttons he wants.
So I can... That's me moving, yes. And now I can revoke control for myself.
You can indeed. You've got control.
And now there...
And now you no longer do. Now the application knows what actions are available. In this case, it knows grant is available, so it lit up the grant button again. I can also stop sharing this resource and pick any other resource. But that's basically application sharing.
So you basically showed us shareable resource list. You picked a resource, you shared it, you granted control, revoked it. Now let's go into the code and show us how you did that.
Okay. So the first thing you might want to look at is how we loaded that list box with resources in the first place. Well, we have this new modality, like I said, it's the application sharing modality, and it exposes a property called shareable resources, which is a collection of individual sharing resources, which include everything from desktops to processes. So what I do in the application right here, as soon as the client has signed into Link, then I go and get the application sharing modality, and then I cache it in this variable here. It's a class field of type application sharing modality. I cache this thing and I say in this routine, if I don't have a cached application sharing modality, I'm going to return, but in this case I do. Or if the application sharing modality is telling me that there are no shareable resources, then I would also leave the routine. But in this case, I actually do have shareable resources, and I've got more than none of them. So I'm going to just iterate on this collection of shareable resources, very simply, getting a sharing resource, which just represents one of any of these shareable things, in this case, a running process. I get that iterate on the collection, and for each individual sharing resource, I get the sharing resource object, and then I read the name property from the sharing resource object, and then load that into the list. And that's that list you see.
Okay. And can I share any resource in that list?
Not necessarily. There are some resources that show up in the list that they might be a process that does not have a UI or...
So shareable resources is kind of a misnomer.
Yeah, and you basically want to just share the desktop, a monitor, or one of the processes.
So how do I find out if I can share the resource or not?
Okay, well, what you do, when you've selected your resource and you choose this Share Resource button in the UI, the first thing it does is it's going to cache the share modality. It doesn't cache already, whatever, that's not important. But then I go to... here we go, right here. This is what we do. The first thing I want to do is I want to determine what type of resource you're going to share. Okay, so I am going to the selected resource is that string from the list box.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using that as an enumerator on this collection class. So I get a single sharing resource, and then I ask for its type. Once I have its type, then I can ask the question, can I share this type of resource, right? And that's the question you asked.
Yeah.
And then if you can't, it tells you why you can't. There are various reasons why you would not be able to. But in our case...
So before sharing, I have to run it through this can share.
That's right, because you might select a resource that shouldn't be shared.
Even though it's in the shareable resource list.
That's right. That's cool. And well, and there are a couple of good reasons why you might not be able to share. One of which is if you're an attendee and you're not a presenter, you can't share, right?
Sure.
Okay, so, and that tells you that right there. So then, assuming that you can share, what I do is here I look at the type of resource that you want to share, and the method to start the sharing is the same to a point. Actually, that's not exactly true. There's a begin share desktop method call you call for sharing a desktop. Or you could call this begin share monitor here. You want to share a monitor, and you pick one of the monitors in your system to share.
Do you have to connect first modality before sharing, or does that do it automatically?
Let's see. I suspect. But you... Oh, that's interesting.
I think it does it automatically for sharing.
Yep, it does. That's right.
For content, what you're showing next, you have to actually connect first.
That's right. And that's a quick question to ask. So no, you don't have to connect in this case. It'll do it. So anyway, then we've chosen to share a process, so we call this begin share process method, asynchronous method. Mm-hmm. We pass the actual process that we want to share, and that's where we get the name of the process. From the list box, we look into the shareable resources collection. Mm-hmm. It returns a sharing resource, and we pass that sharing resource into this begin share resources call, and it shares that resource you've selected. It's asynchronous, but so you have to call the end share resources.
Okay.
And once you've done that, the resource is not being shared. And that's when you got the invitation on your client.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to grant and revoke control.
Okay. And then you had a button, you had a set of buttons there, one of which was grant control.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to go over how you enabled those buttons.
Okay.
And when it should be enabled and not enabled.
Okay. Well, you don't really need to worry about when it should be enabled or not, because the share modality itself tells you when things are actions are available.
Second register for events.
That's this action availability changed event.
Okay.
So all you got to do is listen for this event, and it tells you every time the event is raised, this action is either available or not available. So what we're doing is listening for the action of grant sharing control,
mm-hmm.
right? And when grant sharing control is the action and the availability the availability is true, then I know that my grant sharing button can be enabled on the form, which is what you saw.
Right.
And then, of course, if I grant control to you, grant is no longer available because I've just granted, but now revoke is available.
Mm-hmm.
So you saw the UI lit up the revoke button after I granted and disabled the grant button.
So
that's this step. It's just firing events for each one of those.
All right. So now we've iterated through our shareable resource list. You've
mm-hmm.
chosen a process to share,
mm-hmm.
and we've shared it.
Yep.
And now we want to grant control.
Okay. So let's go back to the form here for a second here. Go to the grant button. So what I'm doing here is I'm going to, okay, so, and this is sort of important. The conversation gives you an application sharing modality instance for conversation-wide modality actions. But in this case, I'm only going to share this resource with you. If I have five people in the conversation, I'm only granting control to you, then I have to get an application share modality instance from your participant.
You have to go and find
gotta find you
in the conversation.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's why, if you noticed, when I was running the application, I highlighted your name in the conversation roster,
mm-hmm.
which got me your contact zip code.
Okay.
Once I got that, then I was able to find your participant. Once I found your participant, I was able to get your participant sharing modality, and then, now we're here. Now that I have your sharing modality, I simply call two things. One, I want to verify that I can grant you control. So I call the all-important can invoke on your sharing modality, passing the action that I want to invoke, which mm-hmm. is grant control. It returns true, and I simply call begin grant control. Very simple. Asynchronous, got an end grant control. Once I've made that call, you can do it all in one line, just like you've got right here. Do it all in one line, now you have control. Right?
Fantastic.
And if you can imagine, the revoke control is the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that sums it up for our app sharing.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our content sharing APIs.
Okay, let's do that.
And you have a sample for us there, too.
As a matter of fact, I do.
Okay. Should I close out my conversation?
Yeah, let's close the conversation.
Okay.
Okay, now I've got no conversation running. I'm going to pick your name, your SIP address from my list of contacts again. So that find you in here.
I think I'm on the top of the list.
Yeah, you probably are, but...
There I am.
Yep, I got it. This application is now inviting you to a conversation.
I'm getting an invite saying you want to share something.
Right. Now I'm going to share with you a whiteboard. So I've got to give the whiteboard a title.
So you're adding things to the meeting content bin.
That's right. The meeting content bin is currently empty.
Right. So which is represented by that white square on the right of your sample, right?
That's right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, this little red box down the corner is telling you what the current state of the modality is. And the last demo you asked me if it was important to connect first before
right.
I shared, and the answer ultimately was no. Content share modality, which is, by the way, not the same modality as application sharing. This is another new modality.
Whole different class.
And it behaves a little differently. With content share modality, you have to explicitly connect to the modality before
yeah.
you can do any of this other
discrepancy in our APIs.
Maybe, except that, yeah. Okay, I won't argue that.
But note that, for this, you do have to connect first before doing it.
Right, so the demo is going to, once I've chosen this Add Whiteboard button, it's going to look at the current state of the modality. It'll say, oh, you haven't connected. So it'll connect,
right.
And once it's connected, it'll say, now I'll actually upload that whiteboard.
Right. And once connected, you can go ahead and upload whiteboard, PowerPoint, file share. So here you're creating a new whiteboard. It's going to add it to the meeting, and you'll see it appear in the content bin right there, right?
Right there.
Okay. Let's also add a PowerPoint at this time.
Okay. So I'll add this PowerPoint right here.
And you should see it appear in the content bin. Right?
Well, this first button just selected it. Now I'm going to press this upload button.
Right? Okay, there it is. Okay. So all your participants in the meeting would see these two pieces of content in their meeting.
Yep. Just for giggles, let's add one more thing. Just a
this is just file upload.
Yep, we're gonna upload a Word document.
I can put a graphic or a Word document, anything that could be available for downloading by the participants.
Yeah, or even a PDF. Let's put a PDF.
Okay. We should have three items now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm labeling each one of these. You see it says whiteboard dash title one PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing is I'm giving you the type of content and the title of the content, because I could put a second whiteboard up. I can do title 2 and add that whiteboard.
Don't get too ambitious.
No, I know, but the point is you can have multiple items, you can have many items in here.
Right.
So I've got two whiteboards.
So let's pick PowerPoint, for example.
All right. And let's share that.
So now I should be seeing PowerPoint in my conversation window. I'm going to accept the content on my end, and my conversation window is now expanding, and I'm seeing a Contoso City PowerPoint slide.
There you go. Now, you can scroll through it, or you can annotate it, and you can clear the annotations on it.
Okay. So I can annotate it if I want to, which I do, and you see me doing little checks.
Yep. Now, I see that those checks there, and I don't want anyone else to see them, and I don't want to save them, so I'm going to choose this Clear Annotations button.
So via the API, you can clear annotations.
That's
great.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I can use the API to scroll through the slide deck.
So slide next through the PowerPoint, okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you were presenting this PowerPoint deck, and I press this scroll button, then I'm taking myself out of sync with the presenter.
Uh-huh.
So then, if I wanted to get back to the view that you're showing the rest of the audience, I would choose this meeting, return to meeting view button.
Okay.
We won't do this here, but what it would do is it would move me back to the slide that you're presenting.
Sync it up with the representation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which we don't need to demonstrate that.
All right. So now let's show them the whiteboard real fast, and then we'll jump into the code.
Okay. So let's stop sharing the PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to the whiteboard.
Can you share more than one at a time?
No, only one at a time, but you can swap between them. They're
okay.
All active. So I can put, this is actually a pretty good test. Let's share this first whiteboard here, and I'm going to put some annotation, a yellow squiggly on it.
Mm-hmm. Let me put something here just for fun.
Okay.
My original little X stamps.
Okay. Now, keep that pattern in mind. Now I'm going to switch to the other whiteboard and then back to this one. And you'll see we haven't lost anything. So I'll highlight the other whiteboard. I choose share content. It just swaps them on the content sharing bin.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to put a little pencil mark there.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go back and highlight this first whiteboard, and I'm going to choose share content. Back to that one again.
Magical.
Haven't lost anything. Now, you want to save this drawing, right?
I do.
Okay. So let's choose this button here, Save Annotations. And what that just did was it took a JPEG, and it made a copy of that image in a JPEG, and then it told me where these this image has been saved. Now I can go to this location and show you the PNG, but trust me, it's there.
That's a very powerful API.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's great. And you can even clear, by the way, the annotations. So all of these buttons here, these are action buttons for a given annotation. They're all controlled by the API. But this is content sharing.
All right, so what did we do here? We have the content modality. We added a whiteboard. We uploaded a PowerPoint, uploaded a file, we iterated through the content bin, we chose to share the PowerPoint, we chose to share the whiteboard, and we saved the whiteboard with annotations.
Right. One more thing we could do, actually. We're almost done. Now, let's say that this native file, let's say you had uploaded the PDF file to the meeting. Now, I want it down on my machine. I highlight it, I choose download attachment, it asks me what path I want the the folder saves you. I'm going to just choose public documents. I choose OK. And it tells me, OK, I just downloaded this PDF to my machine.
So I think we got the idea of what's possible. Let's go into the code now and show these folks how we did that.
All right. Good idea.
So how do we want to do this? You want to show them the content bin first?
Yeah. So because the meeting roster we covered in an earlier SDK, they're really only interested in two things: this content bin and how you fill it. And then of course they'll probably be interested in
selecting through it.
Right. Yeah. So let's start by looking at what we did to get content into the content list box.
Okay.
I've got my source file, and I'm just going to do a search for content list box.
Okay, you didn't bookmark it before.
I didn't, right? Exactly. So I'm looking for a place where I'm adding to it. And we got it. Okay. It's got it removed. We got a second. Okay, there you go. This will work. So the items go into the list box because this content collection on the content sharing modality gets added to. We'll talk about how it gets added to in a minute, but when you or me or anyone else in the conversation adds content to the bin, any presenter,
mm-hmm.
content collection's updated, and then...
is there an event?
That's probably a better idea than taking you to a UI button. So it'd be content sharing modality, content added, right there. This event is fired.
Great.
Okay? And so all I'm going to do is get the event has an argument. It's the data argument. The first property of the data argument is the item. Second property is the title. And if you look at the list box, you see that I took a type, a dash, and a title, made a string out of it, and threw the string into the list box. So all I'm doing here is I'm getting a type and a title from this event, this content collection edit, and adding that an item to the list box. Of course, I had to register for that event, and I could register for it as soon as I got that content sharing modality. I didn't have to wait for it to be connected, right? But you don't start adding items to the content event until it connects. That's the next question. How do you connect and add items? So the first thing we added was a whiteboard. We supplied a title, and then we pressed this add whiteboard button. So this method does a couple things. The first thing it does is it says, is my content sharing modality disconnected? Because it might be disconnected. And if it's disconnected, then I'm going to call this little helper method called connect to content sharing modality. I won't step through that. Let's assume that the content sharing modality had been connected from some earlier action. So in that case, we come down to this piece of code here. And we look first at this canon book method. We know the canon book method by now. You see it everywhere in the API. And it's just a method that checks the state of the object you're calling the operation on and returns true if you can do it. So I'm saying, can I invoke this create shareable whiteboard content action?
Mm-hmm.
So it returns true. That means I know I can create and upload a whiteboard. So then I call this begin create content method on the content sharing modality of the conversation. And I pass into it the type I want, whiteboard, the title of the whiteboard, and this lambda expression, which does something that's fairly important. It doesn't just call the end create content method. You got to call that. But there are three exceptions that can be raised which you do not know in advance, you can't trap for, you can't account for. You just have to accept them.
The title?
The title could be duplicated.
Yeah.
The content bin could be full, because there is a limited number of items you can put in the content bin.
Okay.
Or you could put an invalid character in the title. So the only place you can catch that is in this end create content method call.
Okay.
So that's why this lambda has this try catch block thing.
Cool.
Okay. So that's how you add a whiteboard. Now adding a PowerPoint is the same idea, except instead of begin create content with the whiteboard argument, it has the PowerPoint argument, but otherwise it's the same logic.
It's pretty easy.
It is. When you call that method,
mm-hmm.
then the content added event is invoked, one we looked at before.
Yep.
and then you add the title to the content again.
Perfect.
That's all it is. All
right. So now let's iterate through our newly filled content bin.
Okay.
And let's select our PowerPoint so that we can slide through it.
Okay. So this is where I looked at this refresh content bin method.
Mm-hmm.
That one does the iteration you're talking about. So let me just go there. So iterating on the content bin, because the content bin is simply a collection of shareable content items, you just iterate on this property that you get from the conversations content sharing modality. And that's the content bin. And so what we did was when we selected that string PowerPoint from the list box, all we do here is we iterate on the collection so we find the content join which with a matching title and type. And then we say, all right, that's the shareable content object that we're going to do some work with. In this case, share or
okay. So let's do it.
All right.
Select PowerPoint so we can share it with the other participants in the meeting.
Okay. So let's say that we've selected a PowerPoint list box. We choose the share content button.
Yeah.
And then it says, all right, give me the select item selected in the list box. You can see it right there.
Okay.
And then it's going to iterate on this content collection until it finds the matching content type and title. There it goes. Then we call this handbook method on the shareable content, not the modality, but the shareable content, individual to PowerPoint. The object that wraps the PowerPoint is a shareable content. You call the handbook on that guy.
So just like the shared resources sample, we have to do the same thing for these pieces of content.
That's right.
Huh. Okay.
So the handbook accepts two arguments. So what's the one's an out argument? The first argument is the kind of action you want to do. In this case, we want to present it. Okay. And the second is an out argument that tells you if you can't present it, why you can't. All right. So then, assuming handbook returns true, we simply call the synchronous present method with no arguments. Call that method, and now everybody sees your PowerPoint. One call, real simple. Well, two if you count the canon book. So that's how you present. Now, if you can imagine doing something like saving annotations or clearing annotations, let's look at clearing annotations. We'll do that next. It's the same deal. All I'm doing is, so I've done a couple different things. In this case, I've got, that's interesting. So, okay. So, you know how under the other button we had to iterate on this collection of content in the content bin to find the thing that you wanted to present and to start presenting it?
Yep.
Once you start presenting it, we have this concept of active content. Only one item in your content bin can be active at any time. That active item is on the sharing stage. So this code assumes that if you're clearing annotations, you're clearing annotations on whatever content is on the content sharing stage. So I don't want to look for the item itself. I just say, fine, I don't care what item it is. Just whatever the active content is, clear the annotations on it. So that's why I'm calling this content sharing modality property active content clear all annotations method.
Okay, cool.
So there's no iteration. You just say sharing stage. And by the way, the content sharing modality active content is equivalent to the sharing stage.
Great.
So.
And to select any other thing like a whiteboard, same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so in one case, I specifically stopped sharing the PowerPoint by pressing the stop sharing button.
Mm-hmm.
But if the PowerPoint was still on the, in fact, let me back up a step. When we swap from one whiteboard to the other in the demo, you may have noticed I didn't press the stop sharing button for the whiteboard.
Right.
I simply selected the other whiteboard and said share it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shortcut. When
show us that in your code.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Share content. Right here. So this I'm doing the iteration on my list box looking for the content that matches title. I find it. I have the right shareable content item. I call a canon book, passing the present action. I call it present. So whether I'm presenting a whiteboard or a PowerPoint, it's the same piece of logic. You present any one of those items in the same way. But what's nice is, if there's active content on the whiteboard, I mean on the sharing stage, and you call present for something else, behind the scenes, the API stops presenting one and starts presenting the other for you. It swaps them behind the scenes. You don't have to stop sharing if you're intending to just put something else on the stage. So that's why I just press the share button without. Anyway,
sorry. Great. So have we covered everything for content APIs?
Well, we've gotten most everything. We looked at this clearing annotations. Mm-hmm. We looked at. Did we? Do you want to look at downloading native files or uploading native files, anything like that?
Sure.
Okay. So upload. We'll look at the upload attachment logic here. Pretty simple.
I assume sliding through is just a method on the PowerPoint.
Yeah. It's a synchronous go next, go previous.
Sure. Yep. So let's do the download, and then we'll call it a DAW.
Okay. So uploading a file is a little bit different than the other things because you have to collect a little bit more information, and then the asynchronous begin create content from file method takes more arguments, and they should be explained. So the first argument you're familiar with is shareable content type. It's a numerator. It's an enumerator of types you can upload. So you would choose native file, but then you want to pass the actual file name of the file you want to upload and the path to the file, because on the other end, somebody wants to see in the content bin the name of the file. Like in our case, it was a PDF file.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they download it, they want to download a file with the same name that you uploaded, right? So that's why you have to pass the file name in addition to the path. The path you pass in so that the platform could find the file on your machine. And then this other argument, this true or false argument, if it's false, you're saying, I'm uploading something, but it's not a native file. It's like a PowerPoint slide deck. So you have to ask true in this case. So it says, so you tell the platform, I'm uploading a native file. Don't worry about whether it's a PowerPoint deck. It's just something. It's a way of saying it's an object. You don't worry about it. Just upload it. Trust me. It's okay. And then, of course, you have to call the asynchronous and create content from file. And and create content from file returns a shareable content object. So you've created this native file, but it's not on the content bin yet, right? So you've got this shareable content item which wraps, encapsulates the native file, right? And then you call this asynchronous upload method on that shareable content item. That's what shoots the file up to the content bin for everyone else to see.
Right.
That's uploading. And then downloading is actually pretty simple. You get your shareable content item from the list box, and then you supply a path to download the file to, and then you call the, begin download file. It's an asynchronous method, and you pass to it a path and a title, and the end download file returns to you the string, which is the path and file name that the thing was downloaded to. So that's how you know where the file went on your machine.
Great. So I think that's all the sharing we can take for a half an hour. So thank you for showing us the app sharing and the content API demos. Hope the walkthrough was useful for our participants. I'm sure it was.
Yes, fun for me too.
All right.
So we showed you two demos of the three new features. We showed you app sharing and content APIs. We walked through the code of some of the more important pieces of that demo. We want to now save enough time for questions. You guys have been sending questions VIM to Kai. So we're going to hear some of those questions, and hopefully we can answer them for you here. Questions that I can't answer, maybe I can take your email and answer them offline. But hopefully, between John and I, we'll be able to answer anything you got.
Great. So I'm sharing out this Word doc with the
mm-hmm.
questions. Can you see those?
Yes.
All right. So let's just go. We've got, 15 minutes left
yep.
to take these questions. So let's just go down the list here.
Yep.
So I'll read them to you and you answer. So
I understand that session recording is now exposed through Link Client SDK. Is there any alternative way to start recording programmatically?
So our recording is client-side, so you would need an API in the client SDK to start that recording. And as you point out, we don't let you, we don't have a method for starting it. You can see if recording is happening. But you can't start and stop recording from the client APIs. Is there an alternate way? I'm not sure if UCMA provides a way. I wouldn't think so, since it is a client-side feature. So I'm going to say we did not give you a way for this. Okay. I apologize for it.
All right. Next question.
It's a common ask. It's definitely on our backlog of little things to improve. I'm hoping it'll get through our backlog pretty quickly.
Okay. Can you talk about changes to UI suppression mode? Are you going to support partial suppression or automation or something like the Outlook COM model?
So the UI suppression mode that we released in Wave 14, we didn't invest in version 2 in improving that in any way. So the same feature set for UI suppression that you had in Wave 14, you're going to have in 15. I realize application sharing and content APIs were a big missing piece of UI suppression mode. Unfortunately, they continue to be a missing piece. We didn't do the work that we needed to do to get that working in UI suppression. I am seeing if we can get them in as DCRs, but I can't promise anything at this point. This was given resources and having to choose which areas to invest, and we did choose to invest in the underlying APIs, and hopefully we can come up with the UI suppression story for that as well. For partial suppression, we had talked about more flexibility around being able to switch between suppression and non-suppression, or being able to suppress pieces of the link UI. We did not invest in that area when it came down to it. So the UI suppression story is very similar, if not exactly the same, as Wave 14.
All right. Next question. They're asking, can you make changes to the link client itself?
So this is asking if I can customize buttons UI on the link UI itself.
Yeah.
No. This is also a common ask. One of the things you notice when you become a platform engineer is people want to do everything. And usually what you hear is what you didn't enable. So these are very common asks of features that people want to enable. We're hoping that we can get these through our pipeline in coming releases. We are coming into a one-year release cycle, so hopefully you won't have to wait too long for these. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not there yet. .. So next question. Can federated users take part in pchats? What about users coming in from UCWA?
So the pchat one, you know if federated works for pchat?
No, it does not.
It does not.
And we don't have a gateway through UCWA yet either.
So a UCWA user can't use pchat, and neither can a federated user.
That's right.
Pchat, for those of you who don't know, is a brand new feature to Wave 15. We had a separate group chat client. We called it group chat back in the day. In Wave 14, we took that client and completely integrated it into the Link 15 UI. If you have a server role for persistent chat, you will see the UI light up with persistent chat. And those are the APIs that we said we added to OCOM. Unfortunately, they're not available federated or UCWA.
Although the federated story, between now and when we release the product, may change.
Really?
I've heard.
That's off the record.
Yeah. Why don't we make a note to clarify that?
Okay. So you've heard that persistent chat might be available.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll, okay.
So we're in beta, and some there's still changes happening.
Yeah, of course.
So currently, that's not going to be.
Currently, it's not part of the record.
So when people install the platform preview, they're not going to have that functionality.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Next question. Can local and remote video streams be presented as separate windows when UI is not suppressed?
Does this mean that they want to pop out the video frame?
I think they want two video streams simultaneously.
Oh, this is Lena. Remember, Lena?
Lena says yes. She wants to pop out the video frame. So we exposed... Yeah. You know more about this than I do.
So we have a video window, and we have... one video window handles any preview video, that's outgoing video. Mm-hmm. You've got another video window that handles the incoming video from other participants.
So this is new to our API. We added this in 15.
Well, no, this
the ability to pop it out.
The ability to pop out is new.
Yeah.
But the ability to capture and display outgoing and incoming video is not new.
Same, yeah.
That's right.
But the ability to pop it out, like she's asking.
That's in the COM API.
Okay.
The managed API, we just have the ability to switch between gallery view and...
the different modes. The different modes.
Lock and pin individuals.
So you can't pop out. You can't pop out a video frame using our APIs.
Not the public API.
Okay.
Not the
the .NET API. Okay. So no, Lena. I'm sorry.
Looks like she's typing a message. I don't know if there's a follow up here.
Can I still separate the streams in non-suppressed mode?
Yeah, the streams are separated into. Each stream has its own video window class object, which you get from the video channel. And so depending on which modality you're looking at, the participant modality or the conversation modality, you get the different streams.
Okay, so there's some flexibility there. Great. Next question. Can you install the Link 2010 SDK and the Link 2013 SDK side by side?
The answer is yes. This causes a little bit of pain, and it's going to cause a little bit of pain for people who have, referenced DLL issues.
And if anyone's interested in what happened today, I have both installed.
Yeah. But we wanted to enable this because we realized that enterprises that are migrating might have a developer that needs to service both clients with custom applications. So we made sure that you could install side by side. You can't run side by side, obviously.
Right.
Very cool. So what are like some of the common issues that you're going to run into when you're side by side? Is it you just managing the different assemblies you're referencing?
I found that my references were kind of screwed up.
Yeah. And that's probably what happened in the case of these demos that we ran.
So I had to go into my 14 applications, for example, and re-reference them to my 15. DLLs,
mm-hmm.
And then that seemed to fix issues. And then I had also some bitness issues because I'm running a 64-bit machine now, and I had to go in my project and make it platform CPU any.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, those are two things that right off the bat, took me like an hour to figure out. I was like, oh geez, that's what. Yeah. Hopefully, you guys won't have to run through that because we just told you.
Right. Cool, but they are side-by-side, so that's good.
Yeah.
And then the last question that we have so far is about the sharing modality. Mm-hmm. Does UCMA 4.0 support this class as well so that Link does not have to run on the desktop? And I don't think we have UCMA experts here.
Yeah. But
I suspect...
It's our sister SDK. Yeah, I didn't hear of UCMA doing much investment.
Mm-hmm.
In Wave 15. So if they didn't have it in 3.0, I'm going to go on a ledge and say they still don't have it.
That's right.
The big investment for them this release was UCWA. So cut them some slack, please.
Right. Right. So, yeah, so I'm pretty sure that's correct. There's no sharing wasn't added. And we do have a UCMA 4.0 session coming up in the near future where we can go into some of these questions more in depth. We get a lot of UCMA questions in every session, so we're collecting them. And
yeah,
see if we can talk about
it. We're all part of the platform team, so this is a nice board for them to sound what, what's important to them.
Definitely.
I know a lot of the questions usually come up with things we don't have. It's great to hear these. The more I hear them, the more I get a feel for how important they are, and the higher they jump up in my backlog of next features.
Great.
So, You know, I hope you're not frustrated when you hear me saying we don't have that. I hope you see that, you know, we haven't enabled more than what we had before, and we continue to enable it. So, you know, it's a roadmap. People on the platform team are passionate about what we do, and we want to see all these things there, too. It's just about how to get there, you know, when to do it, the resources that we have, and what can we get the biggest bang for our buck. So.
So let's take some more questions. Let's see if anybody else has some questions coming in. Wait here a moment. We do have 3 more minutes probably before I need to start wrapping things up. If anybody else.
So I just want to thank you for the opportunity for presenting and, you know, evangelizing our platform and connecting with people who are interested in building custom applications with us. So we do have loads of content, msdn.com or msdn.microsoft.com/link. Mm-hmm. That's still, we have our developer forum, our central location for all things Link developer. Yes.
We have lots of demos that you can run through, and you get the source code with them. We'll have videos, we'll have blogs, audio blogs, we have the documentation itself.
Yeah. We already have videos out on Channel 9, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. John and Kai and the other John and all our UA guys, they're doing an exceptional job of building up our content to support our ecosystem. I'm just amazed at how much content you guys are putting up there.
Well, yes, that's right. Well, and by the way, the APIs that you get, the samples that you guys get, won't be unstable like the one that I've got on my machine. I have a habit of grabbing the most recent build, the rolling build that the developers may have finished the build late last night, and I get it first thing in the morning. And so I get to discover if there are things that have broken, which is something that happened just now. So when you run the demos with your bits, you won't see these problems because they will have gone through the whole vetting process by the time you get them.
You mean the samples that you went through?
Yeah.
So your sample source code will be available to
people? Yeah, yeah. And it'll work.
And if they go to that the link, /link, msdn.microsoft.com/link,
yep.
You'll see your source code.
That's right. And it's not all up there now, but just keep checking back. We add more to it and improve quality of work, too.
What's the release cycle for that? Is this ongoing?
It's ongoing. In fact, after we release the product, we'll still be putting new content up.
Cool. And then one point to make, the preview, the SDK preview, if you look at the help files in there, you'll notice that the old Link 2010 help files,
on the installable local.
In the install, yeah. We didn't get around to getting, it's an oversight on our part, but if you go to online, you should find all the new 2013 SDK documentation.
That's right. Under a node called Link 2013. Which is, whose parent is Link, and whose sibling is Link 2010. You'll find it.
And there's a question here. Are there going to be any download updates for the SDK?
Yes. So at RTM of the client, we're expecting to re-release the Link SDK, and then our final release of the Link SDK will be C1.
Hmm. Interesting.
Right. So our SDK is not the current plan of record is the SDK will ship at beta quality with the Link RTM, and the RTM version of the Link SDK will come out give or take January, February timeframe. So, but nothing should break compatibility. You should be able to develop with the beta bits that you have now. And when February comes, you'll have a final version of the SDK. We did this for resource reasons. We needed to stagger the release from the rich client in order to get you the best quality rich client possible. One of the key differences that you'll see, the beta version of the SDK, you'll notice, and only if you use this feature, it's called a custom commands.
Mm-hmm.
So
the menu commands you can add to the conversation with that or the Link client.
Sorry. Right. So in Wave 14, in Link 2010 SDK, we used to have custom commands that you could add to the Link client. You could right click on a contact and launch out an EXE of your custom application. That's missing from the SDK right now.
We also have an issue with the video window in UI suppression mode.
Exactly. So in UI suppression also, the video ActiveX control isn't being handed off. Those two features will be enabled in the CU1 timeframe. That's a good point to mention.
All right, so they should look forward to that. So where do they go to find out, you know, about the new releases? Do they just check the download site?
Yeah, so the download site will be updated. I'm not exactly sure if it'll be a new site or the same site with a different file. We'll have a vehicle for telling TAP customers for sure, you know, that the new one is available. Unmanaged customers can just check back around client RTM time for the you know, the beta bits. Again, another better version of the beta bits. There shouldn't be much change between now and client RTM. The CU1 check back around January, February timeframe.
Right. We also have the link client developer center, which another one of our coworkers is maintaining. And then so another place you can look for updates and announcements is the link client developer forum, because Kai puts notifications up when there are new roundtables, new products. And another thing that's really important, you'll start playing with these samples. You'll have questions, and questions that can be answered easily by a developer test or myself if you pose the question on the link client developer forum. And we have a team here who meet once a week to go through all new questions and get answers for you right there on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, the forums are very lively, so it's great. Mm-hmm. Definitely check them out. Okay, so I think at this point we're going to wrap up. Thank you, Marcelo and John, for joining us here and giving us...
Thank you, Kai. Thank you, Link Developers.
Yeah. And I just want to do, before we finish up, I just want to do a plug for the upcoming Link Developer Roundtable sessions. We've got Persistent Chat coming up on Thursday, July 26th at the usual time. And we're continually getting UCMA questions, so we will cover UCMA on Thursday, August 2nd. And we hope to see you all there. And thank you, everybody, and have a great week.